Right now, we have none other than Fanfic on the line to talk about their latest song, Jacket. How are we doing, Fanfic?
Pretty good. Just waking up.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. True, because it's what, 8 o'clock over in Melbourne?
8 a.m., yeah.
8 a.m., man. Is that
it's all right. It's doable.
It's doable? Not the usual time, though?
No, not the usual time.
No, neither for me. I'm adjusting to doing breakfast times. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. Oh, here we go. Here is station manager Christina Simmons saying hello.
Goodbye.
Alrighty. Now, you're a Melbourne-based musician, originally from Aotearoa. What inspired the move to Melbourne? I'm curious, because it's a thing that's happening all the time. So many of my friends are going to Melbourne. What made you do the move?
Well, I got priced out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I couldn't really afford to stay in New Zealand, which is very sad. And so I needed to try something different. And my sister was already living in Melbourne, and I thought that might be a good one to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I miss New Zealand. But the thing is, like, I used to live in Auckland, and all of my friends that also lived in Auckland got priced out as well, so like even when I visit, there's nobody to visit.
Oh, bloody hell. It's
so, you know, it's a bit of a sad story, but yeah, that was the main motivator.
I wish I could say it's gotten better, but I think I can't say anything about Auckland, but Wellington is definitely very pricey right now. Dunedin is feeling the pinch as well. It's a bit sad. Speaking of sad things, your latest track, Jacket, is out on Bandcamp, and it's about inheriting a friend's clothes and then struggling with an identity crisis, kind of as you say in the press release. You're blurring the line between yourself and your friend through this jacket, through this piece of clothing. Is this track based in lived experience, or is it more of a kind of macabre thought experiment?
No, it's about my friend who died 8 years ago. And at the time, like, we're the same size and we used to share clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I inherited quite a lot of her clothes, mm-hmm. and shoes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would wear them all the time, and it would kind of be like, I felt like I was a tribute in a way, like, you know, always tributing my friend when I was wearing all the clothes. Like, and that kind of wore off after a while because they just became my clothes because they're in my wardrobe. I wear them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally it happens where I'm just walking around and I'm wearing her jacket and I'm wearing her beanie and I'm wearing her shoes. And then I walk past like a shop window and I see myself and I think that is her. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's me. And then it's really odd, you know.
Yeah.
Like So it's pretty much about that, which is probably, I don't know how relatable that is, but there you go.
No, that's a really, really, really fascinating thing to hear. I've never considered like that kind of thing happening before.
Yeah, and also like when she died, like because I inherited so much of her stuff, I have, and this is in the intro of the song, but I have a list of all the things that she wanted to do in her life.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and like, I was like, I'm going to do them. You know? And then I became very anxious because I was trying to do her things and my things.
Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like, they're a little bit incompatible, or just...
Yeah. Yeah, well, not really, but she just, you know, she had a lot of goals. and so luckily she wanted to make music too, so I was like, well, that's one thing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
But it just... I was like, I can't be her and me. I have to just be me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty, yeah, it was distressing at the time. So it's a little bit about that.
It's like having friends definitely does influence you as a person, but this is like to the nth degree of that kind
of
sentiment,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The music video for Jacket reflects this kind of macabre nature. To me, it looks like what would happen if you were to feed like a toy from the 1960s copious amounts of LSD. it's a series of really off-putting, delirious filters, footage of someone getting drinks with a skeleton, and eerie old animations featuring jagged children's toys. You credit these animations as being done by New Zealand artists. Artist Lynn Lai. How did you find this experimental animation style or artwork?
Oh, it's interesting actually. I found them on archive.org. So it's just like public domain footage that I found there. I was looking for stop motion animation because I like that
mm-hmm.
style. And then I found, I think that's like four of his works. So one of them's the stop motion animation, and that's like the main story.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did all these like experimental kind of, I just slapped them on the top. I slapped like the you know, where the shapes are moving around and it's all like jagged and this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of like pulls things together, I thought. And I kind of, with the stop motion animation, I was, it's actually a commercial for Shell Oil.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Birth of the Robot, and it's like this robot who...
Driving around in a car?
The guy who, yeah, he drives around, you know, and then in Egypt, and then he's like...
Looking for oil.
He dies, and he becomes this skeleton, and they give him, like, Shell Oil.
Far out.
And he becomes, like... a robot, and then it's like at the end it just shows, you know, industry basically. So it's like really, it was weird. I sort of cut it in a different way, like cut loads of it out, and I kind of like changed the order of some things so that it sort of tells a story that I identify with, because I don't identify with Shell Oil.
No, not at all. Yeah, I always, but, far out.
Sorry, I was like, when I saw that he was a New Zealand artist, I'd already finished the video. Like, I had no idea. So that was just a nice fluke.
That's cool. Scott, yeah. I always think of, like, modern ads being irreverent and weird, but it turns out they've been irreverent and weird the whole time they've been a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, cracker. the album which Jacket is a part of is titled Tirando Basura. Tirando Basura. Where does the name come from, and what does it mean?
So the name is Spanish for throwing trash.
Mm-hmm.
And the album is like is just a collection of songs that I had on my hard drive. Like, I don't have a theme, you know how people have these albums that tell great stories and you have to listen from track 1 to track, you know, 12, and it's like an experience. So I don't think I'm doing that. I think I'm just like, here are some songs, I don't know.
Yeah, I like that style, man, just making a bunch of Lucy's, putting them together.
Yeah, so, you know, it was difficult to do the order of the tracks because none of them make sense together, so there you go.
Does your friend who you talk about on Jacket, does she come up again in any of the tracks on Tirando Basura?
Not on that album, no. Just on Jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've released the full Tirando Basura record on Bandcamp, and you've put a few singles on major streaming platforms, all except for Spotify. Judging from our communications, it seems that there's some major beef here. Can you indulge me in a Spotify hate run?
I mean, I can try, but last time someone asked me to, I just sort of tripped over all my words because I was so enraged. So I feel like, you know, it sort of comes out, it sort of pops out when it pops out, and then sometimes it doesn't work. But basically, they've always treated artists like crap, and I think that's just like part of how streaming works.
Yeah, totally.
So all streaming services are kind of doing that, but Spotify is like next level, where they've just decided to stop paying artists if they have songs that don't reach 1,000 streams per year. And then it's just like, I only have one song that does that, and only just like it, I think in what last year it got like 1,063 streams or something, so very close to being cut off, and then all of my other songs don't get that much, so it's like, I just don't agree with it, because what happens is, you know, they say, oh, the money that's for that play, it's still royalties, but we just give them to bigger artists, so, you know, we still use that money for royalties, but we don't give them to the small artists that deserve the play, we give them to bigger artists, and they framed it like, we give it to, you know, people that take their music seriously, and, you know, to further people who take it seriously. And I'm like, just because someone's got a lot of streams or like not a lot of streams doesn't have anything to do with whether they take their music seriously or not.
Totally. It's triple up economics.
Yeah. And I just, so I think that's pretty gross. But I think it's just a sign of the times, like they're running out of money. Their business model doesn't actually work. So, you know, it's just part of that. And, you know, we're better to make cuts than just, you know, rip-off artists, basically.
I was going to say, it does seem like a lot of modern, highly tech-oriented subscription services, or you know, like Uber Eats or Uber, Netflix, they're all running out of money. It's confusing how they even got there in the first place.
Well, the problem with like how these businesses start, which is you know, they get funded,
yeah,
and then they can make losses for years because they just get funded by people who pump money in. And eventually, though, they have to start making money, right? Eventually, they have to start seeing money. But generally, they run at a loss for so long that they can make you used to their product. You know, like everybody uses streaming, everybody uses Uber. And then by the time they need to make money and they start putting their prices up, it's like, oh, people start paying because they think they need the service because they're used to it.
Mm.
So that's how that scam works.
That's how they get you. Aside from Bandcamp, what's the next best platform for music sharing, in your opinion?
I don't know. Email it to your friends. You know, like I don't like. It's really, it's really lacking. It's sad. It's there's space there for like something cool because Bandcamp is pretty good, but Bandcamp could be better. And the fact that nobody's trying to fill that space just makes me think, wow, there's really no money in music, you know?
Yeah, and the fact that I think it was Epic Games bought out Bandcamp recently. They're kind of gutting it a little bit. Pitchfork was recently reacquired and restructured and is losing a lot of staff. Like, I think it's happening across the music sphere. It's bizarre. I was going to say, do you think that like these streaming services will be sticking around much longer, or do you think something else will come along and change how we consume music? Because James Blake is talking about doing a kind of Patreon for music.
I saw his thing. I didn't like it. It's just like
Patreon for music.
You know, asking people to subscribe to you is a terrible model because it makes, you know, people paying every month for your, you know, music makes them think that. Makes them feel entitled to having a regular music from you, right? And then it puts pressure on that you should be releasing stuff all the time, and it just creates a weird dynamic. There's just too many like subscription services anyway. Like that's how every company's making money at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's really like there's no music platform that I think is really good, unfortunately. Yeah, if Bandcamp goes to shit, I don't know what to do.
Just buy CDs and vinyl again, I guess.
Start maybe busking.
Busking.
You know, like really, I don't know. And then, but I think like as far as streaming services, I feel like there's not that much life left before somebody has to come up with something better because they're just becoming more and more ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they actually have a little bit of room to become more ridiculous. So we'll see how that goes. And then I think, you know, there'll be some pushback or a bit more pushback. People are already pushing back a bit. But
yeah. And also just, I know Spotify, I've heard of some of the investments that they've been making lately, and it's pretty horrific what they're investing in.
Oh, yeah.
Like military AI technology and stuff.
Yeah, military AI tech. Because, like, when that came out a few years ago, that news, and I had Spotify at the time, and I deleted my account because I was like, I don't want my money going to, you know, any type of technology where the aim is to like blow people up. So that's when I switched, but you know, I still kept my music on there, but now I don't want to do that either. So
Well, Carpi, for making a stand fanfic, absolute legend.
Thank you.
Absolute legend. And thank you very much for your time here this morning on Radio 1.
Thank you too,
much appreciated. Alrighty, that was Melbourne-based Kiwi artist Fanfic talking about their latest release, Jacket, which we will play promptly. It is currently 10:16 here on the Late Breakfast Show with Zach Hoffman, a.k.a. Hoff Trough. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. Here is Fanfic with Jacket. Love ya. See ya. Bye-bye.
There was a Radio 1! 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.